You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
And welcome to the show. It is a Friday, July 19th. Got plenty to get into here in a little bit. Head coach Mark Schlesinger of UNO Privateers on the way. We're going to sit with him in hour number one. Talk a little college basketball. How to put together a team, how to recruit. AAU, the works. Now I'll ask him, LeBron or MJ. No, we'll get have some fun with it when it comes to it as well. Rafael Esparza is going to join us at 1:30 as we'll talk with Mr. Vegas in hour two. Will Hall, Tulane offensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. He's going to join us at 2:05. Talk to him about some college football. Not only about the Green Wave, but what is it like? College football in today's day and age, right? Like building offenses and things of that nature. Marlon Favorite, as always, will join us at 2:15. But first, Joey, welcome us officially. Ha! Huh? And look, Jay Hargrove standing in front of me. Hi, Jay.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Guess what's about to happen.
Don't do it.
There it is.
That's right.
Go back down the hall.
Letting you know you've made it to the weekend, past the midway point, of course. And as always, enjoy being with you here as well. If you noticed, the top of the hour had a moment of silence there. Joey, what, a minute and 3 seconds for a member of our Coastal Broadcasting family. Yeah, thoughts and prayers to the families, of course, as we lay someone to rest today. And tough day for a lot of people in our family and our place here at Coastal. But obviously, family is important, and we're all an extended part of that family here as well. So our thoughts and prayers are with everybody. As part of our team, and the show will go on here. 800-998-1003, a way to chime into the conversation on Twitter as well, is at ESPN Radio NOLA, is the way to get in involved. It's nuts. It's crazy when you think about it, but a week from today, I will be telling you about the first practice of training camp that is in the books. 11:40 is when practice wraps up. It starts at 8:40. And so that's the times, 8:50 rather. 8:50 to 11:40 is when Saints training camp will begin. Sunday will be the first day of pads. A week from Sunday, the first padded practice. 12 practices overall. Yes, they're going to be practicing against the Chargers here as well. We'll start getting into a lot of that next week as we go through the divisions in the NFL, AFC, NFC as well. We'll have some fun and take a look at the storylines, as we do every single year. What are the storylines in each of these teams as they get going in the upcoming season? So one of the things, obviously, that we'll focus on is losses, gains, you name it, that have each team either stronger or weaker. There's always going to be a surprise team. Which team in the NFC is that surprise team? Which team is the team that maybe comes out of nowhere or so in the division or even in the conference that could take a spot or not? Look, last year you saw a lot of the teams in the NFL that made the playoffs. I look at it and I'm like, I kind of think they come back just as strong. Do you? In the AFC, Kansas City, the Chargers, both were 12-4. Patriots, 11-5. Texans were 11-5. Ravens and Colts, 10-6. That's your six playoff teams from a year ago. I think the expectation level is high that the Chiefs will have a strong showing, making additions and adding pieces to the defense. Chargers, look, that's one of the teams that I think is a team that has pressure on him. It's interesting because you have Phillip Rivers. What was the time frame on him? As Jay Hargrave sits in for a second, you missed Rebecca Black, didn't you?
No.
No, you did.
No.
You did.
None.
You
did. Zero.
Okay. So you're just hanging around to meet Coach Schlesinger, is that what that is?
Yeah, I'd love to meet him. Yeah, okay. I was one of the guys pushing for him to get the LSU job before Will Wade.
You're always looking to find somebody to replace somebody at LSU. It wouldn't be you for you to say that, though.
That's why you can't call me the Reaper, because I'm always trying to find better players, better coaches.
Andy Reid on Reaper Watch? For
Andy
KC?
Reid?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
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 So if he loses in the AFC Championship game again, we're good?
Yeah, you got to give Patrick Mahomes some time. I mean, no rookie quarterback.
Oh, so you're saying this is on Pat, not Andy? Because that's Andy's thing,
I think they're hooked together.
Because that's Andy's thing.
Look, you've seen too many times, like the Steve Kerr with the Golden State Warriors, how Mark Jackson put that team together.
Okay.
And once that team's together, they're not going to give you a lot of time.
Up until last year, though, they kept losing in the first playoff game.
I get it, but I think Andy Reid's got at least a couple of years.
Okay. So I was just mentioning, look, every year, you know, there's a team that's going to be a surprise team. You can tell, look, some teams are going to come back as strong.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you think? Cleveland, look, the expectation levels on them are they're a playoff team, right? They need to be into the playoffs. All right. So I just went through the six. Chiefs, Chargers, Pats, Texans, Ravens, Colts. Somebody has to come out of that for Cleveland to go in. Most likely team you think that doesn't make the playoffs that made it from a year ago.
Who?
Chiefs, Chargers were the top two.
No,
Pats,
I think
Texans,
they're both in.
Ravens, Colts. I think Ravens.
Ravens or Texans?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's two teams in the same division, right?
Yeah. One of those two will be my best guess is to be the team that would fall out of the playoffs. Okay. I think Andrew Luck and the Colts will be the surprise team. I think they're going to make a serious run at the Super Bowl this year.
The way that's the division the Saints play this year.
Yes.
Okay. So the Saints may have a hand
in deciding, helping somebody.
Always a helping hand. Steelers didn't make it. Do you think they get back in?
I think with Ben Roethlisberger, they surprised me.
You say that because I was going to say, what's surprising to me is hearing the amount of people that keep giving it confidence that they're going to still do well. You lost Antonio Brown, and I know you didn't have Le'Veon Bell last year, but how good can you be losing arguably the top running back and wide receiver in football? Now, I know last year they had a nice back that helped them, but you had Antonio Brown.
Right.
You don't have that.
But everybody saw Juju Smith-Schuster, the way he's developed.
So you're
and the fact that they did it with Connor, with James Connor stepping in. Mm-hmm. And how about the story this week breaking that he had about a week to live if they hadn't diagnosed the cancer?
Yeah.
But that makes it even more incredible what he's accomplished. But the way they were able to have James Conner step in for Le'Veon Bell and almost seemingly not miss a beat, I think people are kind of expecting, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster. Now we don't have to replace Antonio Brown. We really have to replace Smith-Schuster with another number two, and they'll be okay.
Tennessee just shy of getting into the postseason last year. Again, another team that the Saints could be playing, 9-7. Mariota, is it time?
Jury's still out on him.
Really?
But he's got to do something. They've got to make the decision. Is this guy the guy of the future, or do we have to go another
way? Cleveland was right behind the Titans at 7-8 right now in the standings, the way you look at it, above Miami, Denver, and Cincy. So Cleveland, again, that's a team to me. My goodness, you have made some additions, okay? You got some talent on defense. You got some talent on the line. Corners pretty solid. You know, I think, man, just a great place. The LSU guy wound up going to there in Cleveland in the secondary. I think to me, that team doesn't make the playoffs. That is a disappointment. That's a playoff roster. I'm sorry. I think it is.
It is, and I was hoping you didn't bring that up because I love Joey. I love him a lot back in the studios.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
I'm starting to lose faith in Cleveland.
Why? Based on what?
Baker Mayfield has got to learn to shut his mouth and be
a
starting quarterback.
See, this is you're Colin Cowherd. Why is he a distraction?
It's not the
distraction.
They
get a story on him. Is he not supposed to say, don't do a story on me? It's a picture of him and his dog and him talking about, I want confidence. You've had a franchise that has been the butt of jokes. You have a franchise that has done nothing but show how you do it wrong. You finally get a guy that goes, hey, we can win here. You finally get a guy that says, hey, You need to respect us. That's bad.
It's bad when he starts saying the Giants didn't respect Odell Beckham Jr.
When Duke Johnson
was trying to get a contract,
he
kind of took
back
sides.
There in practice.
He's taking sides on things where he needs to keep his mouth shut and be the leader of that
team. I disagree with you.
He's backing up Odell, and
Odell tackled and hugged and, you know, made out with the goalpost net.
I get it.
So my point is, he's probably special. You have to probably handle him with care in a certain way. So I think in his mind, he's going, I got your back. Come ball for me. And in terms of the running back that wanted to hold out, he's like, dude, we're all here trying to work. Let's get the job done. I look at it as a point of leadership.
It's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team.
Yeah,
exactly. We can't get rid of T.O., can we?
It's my quarterback.
The sniffle made it. I mean,
the sniffle.
That made it.
Sniff of sincerity.
That was.
Finish your statement, and then we'll go to Jimmy.
But listen, with Baker Mayfield, it's going to be the same thing I said about LeBron James. I'm starting to get the sense that he wants to be a celebrity first.
Come on.
And then he wants to be an athlete.
I don't think it is.
I'm starting to see the signs, Gus.
What has he done to make you think he wants to be a celebrity?
Who in the hell cares about how the Giants treated Odell Beckham Jr.?
How does he not have any more swagger than Pat Mahomes?
Who in the hell cares how the Giants treated Odell Beckham Jr.? Go out there and worry about winning football games.
Because that's your guy now, and you're backing him up.
I don't care about the dog pound, Joey. You can keep your barking dogs all you want.
Joey, I'm with you. My goodness, I can't believe you, the Reaper. Unbelievable.
Hey, I didn't say fire him. Not yet.
You just said you're not buying him.
I'm just saying, I'm not sure Cleveland's going to be.
Joey would love for you to compare Baker Mayfield to LeBron James.
And I knew one of y'all were going to go there.
Chances are they would probably be winning. Come back in a little bit. Because we got Coach Schlesinger in here. I want to get to Jimmy. When we come back, we'll take a look at the NFC teams that you think may.
So I got to give my seat to someone more professional and more knowledgeable than me.
Yes.
Okay, I can do that.
There goes Jay Hargrave. Jimmy, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
Hey, Gus. Great show, man. Looking forward to Schlesinger's interview, and I give you guys credit for giving UNO some coverage here. I hope you ask him about, we got a transfer. UNO basketball got a transfer from Northern Illinois. Maybe make a little note with the producer there. I'd like to hear more about this guy. I heard he's pretty good. He's a senior. He's only going to have 1 year of eligibility. And for a lot of basketball, besides LSU, of course, Gus, you know, Tulane struggling, UNO after Katrina. Schlesinger's done a great job. He's got this kid, Jarrell Gates. He's like a poor man's Charles Barkley playing for him now. Freshman from North Carolina. I don't know how Schlesinger found him. But if you haven't been to a UNO game, this kid, like I said, he's a poor man's Charles Barkley. So I'm looking forward to the interview, and I want to hear more about this transfer from Northern Illinois. But my main question is, Joe Burrow, they're talking about him as a possible Heisman candidate. I know,
right?
I mean, I've heard you in the past or some other sports shows around the area say he doesn't really have the arm strength, this and that. But, I mean, besides the Alabama game, it looks like they could easily get to the top four and be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What's your take on Burrow being a Heisman candidate in a field where there aren't that many other candidates out there? I mean, unless, you know, I just don't really see a plentiful bounty of candidates. So what's your take on that as a senior quarterback transfer from Ohio State?
Well, Jimmy, Coach Schlesinger sat down in front of me, so why don't you tell Jimmy Hines? Says he has questions ready for you, Coach.
Yeah, good to be here.
There he is.
Thanks for letting me in the headquarters. I appreciate it.
I hear you. Jimmy, I look at it like this. I would say candidate is fair in that just puts you on the list. Every single year in coach, when it comes to basketball, you have people that are on watch list or, you know, it's right before the season starts, you have the all-conference preseason team. Right. So it's a list. I think being on there doesn't mean that you're going to be the player of the year, or the player of the conference. It just means, hey, you're capable of being recognized for something.
He was an all conference player. I mean, right. He is. He's going to be one of the top quarterbacks of one of the top, arguably 10 teams in the country.
If you have a team that's contending for a playoff spot, he's a candidate.
I mean, absolutely would be. And he's got guts. He's got a lot of moxie.
Right.
Does he have the arm strength? I don't know. But there's a lot of guys who, I mean, I saw Peyton throw a lot of ducks. I mean, a lot of wobbly ducks.
Right.
But, you know, if you're accurate and you can do it, I think how you move the team and how you do it, it makes a big difference. But he's definitely grabbed the tiger by the tail, and he's leading a group of people that have – been starving for a leader in that position in my time in watching LSU football. They've starved for looking 100%. For somebody, maybe since Craig Knoll, if you want to go back that far.
Right.
Those guys that were right around that era where they had 3, 4, 5 really good quarterbacks right in a row. Mm-hmm. That Mettenberg to a certain extent, but I don't think Mettenberg had the personality or moxie that this guy does.
I agree,
and I think he's pretty good. I enjoy watching him, and I mean, trust me, I'm the least football. I'm about as smart as football as nobody. So,
but there are similarities in terms of you always look for leadership on your team,
correct?
And to have somebody that can sort of take your message, and a lot of times, look, at the end of the day, once the game is rolling, decisions have to be made on the field, and you need to have somebody like that.
In reality, a bad team, you know, has no leadership.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty good team generally is coach led. A championship team or an excellent team is player led. And he has been the first guy in a few years that I've seen really be able to dominate the voice. And I think that they're going to have an opportunity to have a great year because it appears as if they're going to be very, very much player-led, player-centric. And that's the key to winning a championship is when the players begin delivering your message as the leader of the coach instead of you having to.
See, this is why I want you in, Coach Schlesinger, because, I mean, I one of the things, look, we're going to talk about your basketball team here as well, but just overall, coaching is coaching. How you go about getting your players, how you go about philosophy-wise, what college basketball sort of is. I think that's why I wanted you in, that we can have some fun and talk. If you have a question for Coach, feel free. 800-998-1003. It can be about the Privateers. It can be about hoops. It can be about coaching in today's day and age with athletes. Because it is different, I think, right? Talking to high school kids when it comes to football, high school kids talking to basketball, it's a little different. And how you recruit and how you approach it and what their goals are. In football, they know it's 3 years at a university and they're gone for the most part, right? In basketball now, the NBA's getting rid of that one and done in the upcoming future. So every kid thinks there's a shoe deal. Every kid's going to the NBA. The reality is it's not. It's very hard to do so. But how are those challenges in coaching? Those are things I want to touch on later.
Yeah. The things, when I began coaching in 1995, 96, I still had a beeper. I mean, let's think about that. I had a beeper. I had a change in my car that you would stop and make a call on a payphone.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke at a USA basketball clinic, and I talked about some of that stuff. I said, you know, because one of the questions was, how do you address student athletes in this time frame where kids have changed? I don't know that kids or student athletes have changed dramatically.
Right.
Every student athlete wants to have a goal. Every student athlete wants to be held accountable. Every student athlete wants to be coached, loved, and driven. They are inordinately more educated and have way more information than they did 20 years ago. Information can be good. Information can be bad. Information, dependent upon how it's delivered, disseminated, et cetera, changes the perspective of it. When I was began, you know, the only basketball information, there wasn't internet, so you had the Street Smiths magazine and you memorized every kid that was in there, and you just knew, well, if Randy Livingston was the 14th best player in the Street Smiths that year, well, Randy Livingston must be the baddest dude in Louisiana, probably in the South. And now he was, but you didn't know of anyone else because you never saw nobody else.
Right.
And you
not
didn't
now.
Have. And now everything changes from immediate access, immediate communication. You could not call, a player just could not call me and get a hold of me in those times. Where now, they can get a hold of me 6 different ways, and it's immediate. So sometimes the discernment is lost of maybe I should hold off on calling, maybe I should, mm-hmm. you know, learning that part of it is different. But in the end, whether it's your children, it's a student athlete, they all want to be held accountable. They all want expectations. They all want to be loved and coached. And that's the part that doesn't change. I just think you're delivering your methods change as times change. Based on the environment.
No doubt. It's going to be fun, man. Thank you for coming in. Let's have a little fun. Take the first break of the hour. And then, again, if you got calls or comments or questions for Coach, feel free to do so. You can follow UNO Basketball on Twitter at PrivateersMBB. And Coach Schles himself at Coach Schles. You like to tweet a lot, huh? You follow
that's
your
fun.
Social media? You have to, right?
It's fun. Yeah.
You almost have to.
I mean, but you got a personality. Uh-huh. Show it.
I just found out about TikTok yesterday. I didn't even know what TikTok was. You know what TikTok
is?
No. Exactly.
Exactly. I'm lost.
It's apparently another app. I mean, this is a young bartender yesterday told me people still tweet. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not that old.
Correct.
Young people are going, you still tweet? There's something else now that's new? But you have to.
Correct.
Because that's what the kids are into. So Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. We'll come back. We'll talk to Coach about the Privateers. I love the slogan and the motto that you guys got up there. Swords up still, right?
Swords up, right, baby.
I love that. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Let me lay it on the line.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Tiger Audio, hear the roar. Located on West Park Avenue in Houma, Tiger Audio for all your audio needs. They're the most experienced dealer in the area with 35-plus years of uncombined experience. Tiger Audio gives you a lifetime warranty on all installations. They're your audio experts in South Louisiana. You can choose from name brands like Kentwood, Memphis, and Alpine, just to name a few. Call 985-853-2121. That's 985-853-2121. Tiger Audio in Houma, hear the roar.
Lauren here for Vision. We built a new house when our daughter arrived, and we made sure to include Home IQ in our plans. Being a mom is great, and I feel safe knowing that Vision has us covered with home security. The high-tech perks are great, too. Automated door locks, cameras, 24/7 surveillance, garage door control, thermostats, all accessible from my mobile phone. You don't need a new house to get the security you need for your family. Just call us. Watch and control your house with Home IQ. Smarter security from Vision. Louisiana license F1256.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know, it's been interesting. Mark Schlesinger, head coach of your UNO Privateers, joining us in studio for this hour. If you want to give us a buzz, 800-998-1003. Coach, we're your new home for Pelicans basketball, so we're super pumped here. You're a hoops guy, obviously, being a head coach here. Look, I think that benefits everybody, right? I mean, we sort of saw LSU kind of have a year that they had last year. For the last couple of seasons, you've made some noise, gotten into the dance. Saw Nichols do that here as well. So you're seeing South Louisiana kind of college-wise get back to hoops, because it's always been remarkable for me why we've not been good in basketball in Louisiana. Baseball, football, we got it. In the NBA, you see players, but for schools, it really sort of have it. And then you have this Pels situation that happens, and you know, in January AD, I'm out, deuces, that's all, folks. Yet here we are almost 5-6 months later, and there's as much enthusiasm as I've ever seen for basketball. It has to translate and trickle, I think, to basketball everywhere.
It does 100%. And I said David Griffin needs to write a novel, he needs to write a self-help book, whatever he needs to write it, because he took his leadership took, and with Mrs. Benson, they took the narrative and absolutely flipped it, where Colin Cowherd, for whatever, I'm not a guy of his, him saying no one wants to be in New Orleans. No, yeah, they do. I want to. You do. There's tons of people that want to be in New Orleans. You don't know that kid. You're not shaking his head. Well, maybe he was just excited that finally the number one pick, he knew where he was going to go. You know, they overanalyzed his reaction at the lottery. I mean, all this stuff, like, but they absolutely and completely flipped the narrative. It went from being no one wants to be here to being everyone wants to be here. We have momentum going. And it's all attitude. It's all being relentlessly positive. All the same things that we talked about when we rebuilt our program at UNO. All the same things we talked about when We said, okay, we're not going to let our university go this direction under the leadership of Dr. Foss, and now the amazing leadership of Dr. John Nicolo of, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to turn this university around. We're going to lift it up. In reality, when the Pelicans are good and this narrative is good, high tide rises all boats. And so they're raising my boat. Now, all of a sudden, every kid knows Zion's here. Every kid that I call in the country said, man, people are going crazy down there for Zion.
Come on.
And so it doesn't matter whether I'm talking to a kid in South Florida, I'm talking to a kid in North Carolina, I'm talking to a kid in Indiana. They all know that people were going bananas about Zion. They showed the draft party that they did in Fulton Alley. They did all those things. And so that's good for me. That's good PR. All that stuff is great because people think that this is a basketball-centric town. And in reality, it is a basketball-centric place, but there's a lot of stuff to do. I mean, in the Midwest where I grew up, it snows like crazy. You aren't going hunting. You aren't going fishing. You're not going out and randomly going to go just enjoy a Sunday afternoon in 65, 70-degree weather. Mm-hmm. You're inside. You're either inside your house or you're inside a gym watching a game. So that is your entertainment. So it's a different narrative. There's no Mardi Gras. There's no carnival. There's none of that stuff. And so people got to understand, maybe people love basketball, but there's just other stuff going on at that time.
Right.
Where in other parts of the country, there's nothing else to do.
Congratulations. You signed an extension, so now you'll be through the 25-26 season. You've not hidden it. You are one of the, I think, the brightest people around in the city that people love to see your love, not only for the city, but the university. Why the extension? Why continue here? Because it kind of comes across to me, you love kind of building that program. We just talked about David Griffin. It's not any really different than what you and everyone at UNO is trying to do to build that program.
It's been a wonderful experience. It's been an incredibly hard challenge. You know, when in 2011 when I arrived here, we were provisional Division II team.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 4 scholarships. You know, we didn't talk a lot about our circumstances or the realities of it in the few media opportunities that we got at that point. Because nobody cared. No one was going to give us a pity party, nor did I want one. I didn't want to give us excuses to have it. But, you know, we played 2-3 years as an independent, which was tough. The student-athletes that we had during that time played and really set an incredible foundation. They played their guts out. They allowed us to have the fortunes that we have. You look at it, in the last 3 years, we've won more games in the conference. Us and Sam Houston won more games than anybody else in our league between regular season and the tournament. We won 41 games. We've been in the championship game 2 out of 3 years. We've been in the postseason 3 straight years. We're the only college basketball team in the state of Louisiana that's been to the postseason 3 straight years.
Right.
And a lot of that is because we were relentlessly positive in how we were going to approach it. We weren't going to make excuses. We were just going to figure out a way to make it happen. And that part of it, the process of the rebuilding, has been a great joy for me. I think I enjoy rebuilding. I enjoy fixing it and making that happen. But, I mean, I love living here. It's been a blessing for myself and my family, for sure. And us being able to adopt 3 kids from here in the metro area has been incredible. And it's just been a great ride. I've been very blessed and to just be here the time that I have. And for the university and Dr. Nicolo and Dr. Henderson and Mr. Duncan to have faith that I'm capable to lead our program for another 7 years was very humbling, to say the least.
I Coach Les, a great follow over on Twitter if you want to follow Coach. So when you're building and you're going with your philosophy, every school and every place is different, right? So to try to build at UNO, to get people into the stands and try to get those athletes, what is your philosophy that you try to go and, I guess, towards it? Administrators, hey, this is our goal. We need the help this way because this is what I'm trying to do. And when you're trying to recruit?
Well, one you got to find, you've got to find and figure out, number one, who's a capable student in your university. Like, University of New Orleans is a very dynamic, competitive academic institution.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a run-of-the-mill state school. It is a research university. It is a tier one school, and you have to find students that are one geared that they want to get an education. And I think we've been blessed to do that. Then you got to have people that want to be a part of the city. I think you can't have somebody that doesn't understand, accept, or is eager to learn more about their surroundings, because our university experience isn't just on our campus. I lived in Natchitoches for 11 years, and I had a wonderful time, as good a time as I've ever had in my life. But in a lot of ways, our campus experience was our campus experience.
That's
it was a very
what you got there.
You know,
right.
That's what you have there. Yeah. And here it's very different. You know, you take an official visit for us. Every student athlete that comes on official visit here virtually has a different official visit because what they may like, they may not like seafood, they may like steak, they may have been to the World War II Museum before, and so you're not going to take them there. You're going to take them and do something else. There's just a plethora of things to do,
right.
And so each one is unique and different, just like our city is. And I think that when you embrace that part and you start looking at it, and then you start thinking about what works recruiting-wise and who we're going to look at bringing, that's a big piece of it. Tim Floyd gave me a great piece of advice early on in my career. He said, you know, you got to recruit I-10 from from Houston to the Gulf to the Panhandle, Louisiana, Mississippi, and then it's city to city. It's really urban to urban is what will work the best. Mm-hmm. And he was 100% right, and I'm forever grateful that he gave me that piece of information, because in reality, our best kids, a caller referenced earlier, Jarrell Gates, a kid from Charlotte, he loves it here, he's comfortable here. And in reality, kids that come from an urban setting, whether it's concrete to concrete or urban to urban, they agree and understand it a little easier.
We're going to wrap up a little bit later here on the team and the outlook, as we already had that caller, Jimmy, wanted to you know a couple of your players. But you know, one of the things that I find interesting, too, when you look at it, we touched on kids today and how you have to be social media savvy and understand that they can get their info out, and you can as well. If you can play, you can play. Right? People
Correct.
Are going to find you.
Correct.
And I think that's one of the beauties of what technology's been able to bring. You don't have to go to a big school, big name, big market. You want that. That's nice. It helps. But if you can play, you can play. We've seen some people the last couple of years here, you know, get look-sees, right?
Correct.
So
mm-hmm.
if you can play, you can. And there's something to be said. Hey, can you be the guy that's on front of our media cover
Correct.
And our media guide and be the conference's player of the year? I mean, those things help. Those accolades can still be that. And I think that's something that UNO definitely can offer.
I think whenever you're looking for where you're going to go to school, you've got to go to where it's a fit, where you're comfortable and where it's a fit. You take Trayvon Thibodeau just was on the Pacers Summer League roster, mm-hmm. Was an all-conference player for us from Brule, played 4 years for us, had a great run, a wonderful career, graduated on time, honor roll student, and you know, but he found it came to the right fit. Sometimes professional teams or agents or whoever are the movers and the shakers, there's a lot more value in being the Southland Conference Player of the Year, first team All-League in the Southland Conference, than being an honorable mention SEC player because you have dominated your league. You've shown your skill set, and it's easier to sell and easier to get an opportunity for those guys. And so I think that's a big piece of we've been lucky to have some guys that have been pretty good, and I got a really good staff that does a lot of that research and work to help find us these guys that fit us.
We touched a little bit before the show. You know, I do some Tulane play-by-play, and we've seen over the last couple of years.
I'm not holding that against you.
No, I hear you, but because I want to get into how you can use cross-town promotions and rivalries.
Right.
I mean, you see it in baseball. I mean, playing for the Cup, I think it's really cool. And I wish you'd see that more in basketball in this state. But the reason I bring that up is you've seen it from Conference USA to going to the American Conference and just seeing that level and doing that. It may not get the notoriety outside of here. Obviously, we do Nichols on ESPN New Orleans, so we're aware. I have Bryant on every week, and he touches on the Southland all the time. This is a good conference. You've got some good basketball, and it seems like every year it comes down to the end.
Correct.
It comes down to even try to get into the tournament. And if you get into the tournament, you can make a run. I mean, we've seen teams that win the tournament get a shot.
I'll tell you, people that don't watch our league in basketball miss out because it is as entertaining a college basketball league as there is in the country. We have a myriad of styles,
mm-hmm.
a myriad of personalities. from, you know, us who is a lot of times labeled as the bullies of the league because we're generally big, physical, tough, pound the ball inside and play a little bit of an old school, very aggressive man-to-man, just a little bit of a throwback style to teams that run and gun and play fast and do different things. So it's really, really entertaining. One of the parts that I do love about our league especially is that our forwards may be smaller in that, like an SEC forward's probably 6'10", 260, 270, where ours may be 6'7", 220, and 215. And our foot speed is tremendous. Our foot speed, our athleticism, our quickness in our forwards, I think, is mm-hmm. as entertaining of a piece as anything to go and see guys that nimble at that size. I think it adds to it, along with our foot speed on our perimeter. But I just think across the board in the conference, man, is it fun. And Brian's great. I mean, I think he's one of the best in the business.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, as we said, competitiveness, not only that, but really multiple teams being able to do
correct.
That. And it adds to it, right? I mean,
No.
You want to have rivalries. You want to have to where you're playing for something. And again, that's the experience you're getting, right? I mean, not everybody can be Duke. Doesn't mean you can't have a good experience. Doesn't mean you can't have a future, can't get a degree. I mean, we kind of touched on before the show and during the break of value. I mean, there's always going to be people saying pay for players and do that. You can still enjoy and still have a great experience, and the university can benefit. And the player can benefit.
Right.
You don't have to be in these big.
Me as the head coach, I want to. And I know this is Mr. Duncan's philosophy as well, that we want to give our student athletes as rich and as a 360 experience as we can give them. We want to give them a great experience on the court, off the floor, in the classroom, in the community, and that doesn't always have a dollar figure. You know, we're at UNO, we may not have. We may not be the highest resourced program in the country, mm-hmm. especially when you consider us to the state, to the flagship. We're not nearly as resourced as them. But I'll argue that I'm richer in human resources than they are because I know what my staff does. I know how my staff invests in our players. I know the time that they spend with them. They love them. They coach them. They work with them. My internal staff that works with us, our athletic trainer, our strength coach, our academic advisor, that they are constantly pouring into our guys' lives, all day, not just once a day at practice. It's during the day. It's at study hall. It's in tutoring. It's when we're eating in the cafeteria with them. It's all the time. And I think that in the end, dollars get you so far, but you better have people that love you and want to develop you on a daily basis to get you ready for life.
I say that all the time, Mark, as we go to break here. It's just, to me, I use the word invest a lot.
Correct.
And obviously a lot of people attach a dollar sign or the dollar symbol to it. You have to invest in people. No, you have to invest 100%. In people. I mean, that's any business, man.
You got to invest your time, your talent, and your treasure.
Uh-huh.
And those have different meanings for all three.
At Coach Celeste, the way to follow him over on Twitter at PrivateersMBB. Let's talk some coaching when we get back here as well. Because college basketball is it changing? We're hearing the NBA positionless basketball. Threes are the way to go. Coach Hunter over at Tulane said, we're going to jack them up. Just run. The heck with plays. Let's do that. You talked about the different styles in the Southland. I want to hear what your philosophy is. And here you go. Here's your homework in the next 3 minutes. Where do you see college basketball in the next 3 to 5 years?
That's a good one. I'm right.
All right. Sports Hangover Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Bad to the bone.
I broke 1,000 hearts. You have frequent heartburn? Take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Uses directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Hot dogs! Get your hot dogs here!
Mike, why is there a guy selling hot dogs in here?
Well, getting tickets to the game I want to see is a hassle. But I missed that stadium atmosphere, so I brought the stadium atmosphere to work.
Oh, Michael. Vivid Seats make buying tickets quick and easy. Find the seat you want in just a few clicks.
Nice. I just got tickets to tonight's game.
Ice cream! Get your ice cream here!
You guys can all go home now. We're good here.
Vivid Seats!
Organizing most of your things doesn't have to mean spending most of your money. At the Home Depot's Pack Store Save event, get a variety of storage options from Sterilite starting as low as $4.98. Large and tough, clear and colorful, tightly sealed and water resistant. Whatever you need to store, however you want to store it, today is the day for doing. The Pack Store Save event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid until August 25th while supplies last.
What do players want to get out of this? Obviously, if there's going to be more money, you're splitting revenue, so you're going to get some of that money. But also, you end up not
having any inactives. We don't understand the inactives anyway.
Inactives make no damn sense.
You have 53-man roster and 46 dress on game days. Why?
Yeah.
Just dress them all. I mean, then you have a 10-person practice squad. So out of this, will the players try to get, say, you're going to go two more games? We need more guys on the roster.
Correct.
So do you add five players, which is 160 more? Do you add seven players, which is 225, 224 more? Do you add players to the roster? That's a win for players. Players will be able to play 18 games. Yeah. They will be able to play 18 games. I know you're going to hear a lot of cry foul on it, but all of a sudden, if the money's there and there are more jobs there, you're going to see how feasible it is.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Head coach Mark Schlesinger of the UNO Privateers in studio. Thank you again for giving us a little of your time this afternoon and coming in. Doors open, man. Whenever you want to come in, we'd love to chat with you.
That's great.
Would you have ever thought Ben Simmons... 5 years, 170, can't shoot, wait, has not made a three. Would you ever think that a person would play in the NBA, be an all-star player, I mean, be recognized like that, and not make a three-pointer, make 170 guaranteed?
Magic didn't make many. I mean, Magic didn't make many early.
It's crazy, though, right?
And he you know, they're the same size, not girth, but height.
They talk about his size, obviously, with the Pels, and you're seeing with Lonzo coming in and Drew, and talking about that. David Griffin said, look, the NBA... it's going to positionless basketball. He says, give me five guys that are 6'10", and I'm going to win, right? That can do it all. That can do it. Where's college basketball going in that situation? Because it's a little different because you have people that, whether they're one and done, and look, that's going away. The NBA wants to do away with that, so they're going to be able to do all that. Not everybody is a NBA player. You may have a whole bunch of people that do. So from your standpoint as a coach, when you recruit those players – it's building longevity, right? Can sustain success? Because for the most part, teams have success that you make runs.
Correct.
To a title or to a dance. You're probably junior, senior
lane. In our league, old wins.
Right, okay.
So I've been in the Southland Conference 18-ish years. Mm-hmm. Old wins. And so whether that is a transfer, a junior college, or somebody that's been with you for 4 years. Generally, the teams that have had sustained success, when I was at Northwestern State, we had an incredible 4 or 5 year run. We made 4 straight conference tournament championships. Stephen F. Austin under Brad Underwood had, you know, the best run in conference history. The one we're on now, it's because you've had guys that have been in your program 3 and 4 years and they're there. They understand. They have a buy-in. They have a huge, fierce loyalty to what's happening with your program, your university, et cetera. And I think that, sure, positionless basketball is fine. I play positionless basketball from an end of what I do in my system and my schematics goes to where I may have my 6'10 power forward enter the offense and my 5'6 point guard, Lamont Berzat from Landry Walker High School, playing in the center position. But a lot of that is just schemes where I can move pieces around and do it. I think in the end, when there's 351-ish Division I teams across the country, everybody's always going to still recruit to their system, their philosophy. And I think that's the beauty of college basketball. Like, I don't want the shot clock to go down lower because it will make it gives people fewer options of how they want to play and what their styles of play they want to be. It'll become more like the NBA because you have less options, less time. So you have to get into it as quick as you can. The way it is now, 30 is fine. I was fine with 35. I was fine with 40. I just think that it gave, if you wanted to play fast, you could. But it leveled the playing field of team 250 to 350 as opposed to team 1 to 50 and leveled that playing field just a little bit more where coaches could affect the game through their scheme, their game plan of what they were going to do.
I know women's hoops went to it a couple of years ago. I like it going to quarters rather than to full halves. Would you ever want to see it go to quarters?
I'm fine with it, but I think the television contracts on men's basketball are structured to where they would lose a timeout, and I just think it's a sheer money thing. I think all the coaches would be fine with it. I don't think that they care either way, to be honest with you. In my conversations at the NABC conferences and rules discussions and surveys that they send out that we will go back and give our input on. I don't think anybody cares about that. I just think the money of the contracts is structured to where it won't happen until the next. If it happens at all, it won't be until the next contract would come up.
Ball advancement out of timeouts.
I don't, in our current structure, I don't like it because I think, again, it forces you as a coach to be creative. I think it gives, if you're going to do that, do it all the time, you know, not just in the last, I think, you know, they've done it in the last few minutes, but I just, it is where it is. It's part of the game. Like, that's where you got the timeout. You called it there. You should have dribbled it up and called it at half court. You know, I like it the way it is. I just think it forces you to play within your circumstances.
They experimented in summer league, and they're going to make it available this year as a test to see how it happens. Coaches' challenges.
Yeah.
You know, in these parts, challenges
and
review and replay is a big thing. Yeah. Would you like the ability to be able to, again, you have to have a timeout. It could be once. I think you get once in the NBA. You get one time to do it. But I don't know, Coach, Stephen F., Nichols, whatever. Here it is. At conference tournament time. There's the whistle. Like, he never touched it. It's all ball. Would you like to say, can you go review that?
Not really, because I do think that the human element is one of the things that makes the game great. Same in any sport. You know, they're still humans. The referees are still humans. I got friends that are officials, and that's, I don't know why they do the job.
Right.
It's not fun.
I
don't see how it could be fun. And they're not, like, some of them are paid well, but the majority of them are really probably underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see why. I think that the human piece is important, and having that as an aspect makes a difference for people. And I don't know. I'm not for that. If you want to go back and look and see if his foot was on the line, fine, look at it and see. But I worry about that. What direction it goes with that.
What would be a coaching rule or change or something from the game standpoint that you think would benefit?
I'd love to have a jump ball instead of an alternating possession. I'd love to have the jump ball back at every tie-up.
Instead of the arrow. Right.
I'd love to have that. I think it adds something. I think it is a change. It's a free play. It could go either way. It's another strategy session that has to go. That has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No different than a puck drop in hockey. I think it's good. I like that better than the alternating possession.
How do you
probably the first time you've heard that in decades.
Yeah. But I see what you're saying. The athleticism just going up and get it because you can win another possession that way rather than doing that.
Absolutely.
All right. How about when you look at the final seconds? I've always wondered this, right? I mean, the last 40 seconds of a game can take 5 minutes with timeouts. They do that. But the strategy of holding timeouts, choosing them when to call and when not to, and then those moments, because they're not long timeouts that you have to develop that strategy. Do you spend most of that time trying to be ready for that before the season in practices and during the week in practices? Is that something that only comes through experience at game end situations? Like, how do you get better as a coach at end of game situations on knowing when you call a timeout, when you're not, and what are you doing in that timeout with 8 seconds left, and what are you drawing up?
Everybody's different in how they coach it, and whether it's
like
whatever sport.
Like football, you have a cheat sheet or something.
Correct. So how we do it within our program is I got a master list of probably 40 different scenarios.
No kidding.
And so what we'll do in the middle of practice, our practice is very, very quick-paced. We'll go really fly through it. And I will like to, in the middle, say 45 minutes into it, I'll blow the whistle and I'll say, okay, it's 40 seconds on the clock, end of the game. Gus, your team's up one, shooting 1-1. Each of you got a timeout. Here we go. And they got to get on then the players have to talk it out, recall what I just called, get lined up, get organized. I'll referee. I'll let my assistant coaches coach each of them one of the teams. So then that gives them a rep. They want to be head coaches one day. Gives them a rep to call a timeout, draw up a play, line them up. It allows me as a head coach to hear what they're saying. Are they saying the same things I would want to be said? If they're not, can we meet about it either before or after practice? Mm. Talk about it, coach it. It forces them to, the players to talk and lead amongst each other. And now we've been through a lot of these scenarios throughout the year of what's going to happen. And even if you're not prepared, and basketball is unique in that there's a million scenarios that could happen. You may not have covered every single one of them, but they have a pretty good idea what you're going to do on each one, so they're not caught off guard when you come in the huddle and say, hey, we're running side out, we're play three, make, we're going to get back in half court, man, miss, you need to foul immediately because the clock's going. There's no shot clock. We're out of timeouts after this. You can cover off through your list, your checklist of information that you got to get across to them.
So it comes down to Coach Mark Schlesinger of the UNO Privateers. It's basically if you can put somebody in that position once, that it'll be a lot easier for you to handle it once that happens to you.
Correct, 100%. Yeah. I think, and if you give them the idea of mm-hmm. what's going to happen, they're more prepared for it when they come back. And you'd be surprised. I mean, our guys, I got an email from the dorm director that mm-hmm. that the guys were being too loud in the dorm in the mornings at 9:30 to 10 when they came back from breakfast and weights. And I asked her what they were doing, and she said, they're yelling, their doors open, they're yelling down the hall about sports trivia to each other. So, I mean, they're always talking about it. They're right. talking about sports nonstop, whether right. it's yelling at each other in
there
the dorm.
There could be a lot worse things.
Could be a lot worse things. Oh, yes, trust me. Praise God. I'm glad I got the dudes I got. Trust me. Yeah. But it's that. But they're always talking about basketball. Don't ever think that they're not. They are always talking about it. And if you give them content to talk about, they'll talk about that.
That
more.
Goes back to your recruiting philosophy,
correct.
Right? Trying to get the right and kind of players that would go correct. Into what you've already tried to build. Richard, you're on with Coach Schlesinger.
Yes. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah
this is Richard Muller from I live in North Mississippi, and I'm a UNO fan, so I sort of think I live on the outskirts of the Privateer Nation. I'm on the frontier. So here's my question for Coach. First off, anything on the UNO Tulane basketball series? I know a couple of years ago, up in Memphis, I had mentioned that to Derek, and he said, well, they had a contract over there for quite a few months. But so that's my first question. And then the non-conference overall schedule, anything you can give us a little shed light? I know some of the sleuths at Privateer Island have figured, of course, at LSU and at Butler. And then my final couple of questions, and you can comment, Coach. Non-conference home games, and then our three-star player from Northern Illinois. And then the last comment, are you going to have any players this year like LR3 that might all of a sudden, you know, make the roster that nobody knew about like him last year? So go ahead, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. You know, Tulane is a series that we've worked to try to get back. Coach Dunleavy didn't have a great interest in renewing that series after the game at Lakefront Arena. Coach Hunter's a guy
I can imagine.
Coach Hunter's a guy that I've known for a long time. We've scrimmaged him. He's came to Lakefront Arena and scrimmaged when he was a coach at Georgia State. So we've got a great working relationship. This year it won't work out this year, but I know we've talked already and are a good bit down the road about renewing that series starting in 20. So I'm excited about that. I think they are too, and I think they see the value in the city. And it's, you know, it's one of those great historic rivalries going back to, you know, thinking about the two teams playing in the Superdome against each other. So there's a lot at stake with that, and we're excited about that. You know, we're excited about the team. I think we've got some good pieces involved that will help us right away. We, you know, Jalen is a big body that will be here in August after he finishes his academic commitments with Northern Illinois, and we're excited about him. We think he'll add some senior mentality to our forward crew. You know, all of our forwards are all freshmen and sophomores. We don't have any big guys that are older than a sophomore, so that's a big piece of get him here, because he adds a little bit of depth to what we're doing. And then he's an older guy that can be kind of an anchor for us inside. So we're excited about that. And the non-conference schedule we'll be releasing here soon. I don't have an exact date. We're working on completing the one final game. But obviously, you know the game with Butler, and we're excited to go to Baton Rouge again. And Coach Wade, I was glad we could work out a game with him. I think that's a good game that's got a lot of history between us, going back to us being LSU-NO, that I think has a great value to not just us, but going back to the early days with Terry Gill And Wayne Cooper and all those guys, I know when I told them that we had that on the schedule, they were very excited.
You think
that.
Like baseball, basketball should sort of do like that, where you see a lot of the in-state schools play one another?
Yeah, I'd love to. I know even Dr. Henderson, our system president, has talked about, you know, wanting to do a UL system day,
right,
with all the basketball teams at one place, and so within the system.
Like the Winn-Dixie Showdown back in the
correct.
Day, where you had like three
exactly.
schools take on another state or something like that.
Correct.
But maybe
yeah.
just have everybody
everybody
play.
In our system. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that that's something that maybe down the road. I think it's hard with if you look at all the teams in the state. I think we've got four for sure, maybe five conferences represented.
Right.
With all the schools in the state, so you've got some different pieces that go into that
sure.
logistically wise, and then if a school's got to go play a guarantee game and bring in revenue. When you can do that, you're not at the you're at their mercy, not your mercy of when you can schedule that.
Right.
So there's some pieces with that are important. As far as our other roster, I think we got some freshmen that you'll be very pleased with that are going to come in and be immediate impact guys for us. I think our staff's done a phenomenal job of bringing in a class that really will put us at the top and keep us at the top. This is by far our deepest team we've had in my tenure. So going
sure.
into my ninth year. This is not even close, our deepest team. We got 15 guys on the roster. All 15 of them can contribute and play. I don't know that we have one guy that's clearly head and shoulders above the other,
mm-hmm.
Where maybe Traven or Eric or Corey Dixon or some of these guys on their teams were much better talent than some of the other guys as far as just sheer ability. I think we've got a really, really deep team that can do a lot of things.
Yeah, and I saw on the your Twitter account. I'll give a shout out to Kentrell Martin. That's interesting that he was over at Texas A&M today giving a seminar to Buzz Williams' team.
Yeah, Kentrell made a trip through. Kentrell played for Monty Tau, Gus, and
I remember
during that time, and is a really talented player from Gainesville area, and he's a very acclaimed, accomplished children's author.
And, right, I thought that was great.
And
that
travels
was a nice
the country.
Shot.
He and his family came through, spent time here. He visited campus, visited the arena and our team, and then he was going over there. He was teammates with Buzz has an assistant, Jamie McNeely, who played at UNO.
Oh, yeah.
One of his other assistants is Devin Johnson, who was a student manager here at UNO. And
wow.
So they all went together, and so he went over there and presented to Buzz and the Aggies and it was a great opportunity for him and his family, and
sure.
really, really good for Buzz that he and I have had a long-standing relationship and friendship, and so it's a small circle that ties all
yeah,
of us together.
Yeah, it is. You think there's any chance we could get him to come over one time to play us?
I don't know. Well, that's a good question. Those guys usually don't leave their house often.
I know.
They make a lot more money at home than they make on the road.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Just an idea. Idea. So. Anyway, well, great. Thank you for answering my questions, and I follow you come to periodically to games down in New Orleans. So I enjoy the Privateer Nation. So
you got
Privateer Power.
You
That's
got
what
it.
I say. Okay.
Swords
Thanks
up.
A lot.
See, there you go.
All right.
Social media, man.
Hey, it's amazing.
You got a tweet.
Yeah.
You got 5 more minutes?
Yeah, let's
okay,
do it.
Because I want your answer on where you think college basketball is going, but I wanted him to be able
yeah,
to get your
let's
question.
Do it.
So
let's
quick
get
break,
it.
We come back. One final segment with Coach Schlesinger, and we'll let him go enjoy his weekend. Coming up at 1:30, Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas. 205, Will Hall, Tulane offensive coordinator for the Green Wave. We'll talk about where college football offense is kind of going here as well. Does he use the cards? They don't have that in basketball, right? You don't have a picture of...
We tried to... You know what we do? I'll tell you a funny story when we come back on that.
All right, cool. Sounds good. Marlon Favorite as well as the Sports Hangover. Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. You're listening to your home for Pelicans Hoops, ESPN New Orleans.